Welcome to the snooze button. Hey, I'm Brittany of Brittany, She, and Sleep. I've got 99 problems, but my kid sleeping isn't one.
Hi, guys. Excited for a new episode here of the snooze button. Okay, so I thought this topic was such a good one, and I'm really glad someone brought it to me. Sometimes, you know, these things, I just pull them out of my butt. Other times, you guys, as my followers, my clients, my friends, bring me ideas. You're like, you know what would be a good podcast episode? So that's what happened in this case. A family I've worked with in the past came to me and said, you know what? I have a good podcast topic for you. And it was something this mom was struggling with, was the gender of her second baby. And I talked through it with her a little bit. And I was like, you know, this is a really good idea. And I feel like having wishes or disappointments or excitements around the gender of your baby is something that is maybe not completely universal, but like most of us go through it with at least one child, if not all of them. And at the same time, it's very under-discussed because, of course, you always hear like, all you want is the baby to be healthy. You want to help, you know, healthy pregnancy, healthy mom and baby. Of course that is at the end of the day what everyone wants. But that doesn't mean you aren't allowed to want other things too, right? And it, you're, I feel like that's why people don't talk about it, because I'm thinking through, as I was putting together the notes for this episode, like the conversations I've had in the past, and I will say the most common time that people confided in me was women who already had two boys and were planning to have a third or were expecting a third coming to me being like, can you be honest and tell me how you felt before you found out Delaney was a girl? And for those of you who don't know my kids and all that, I have two boys and a girl in that order. I got a lot of those texts and calls, like, talk me through how you handled it. What did you want? You know, what would you have done if she had been a boy? And it definitely showed me just how many of us have these feelings. And so I thought it was a great topic to talk about. And I will say, please, as you're listening to this, no judgment, okay? This is not a competition. And I think the reason so many women, and probably men too, the reason so many parents don't talk about it, even though is that, like, there's nothing worse than having a strong feeling and then feeling bad about having that feeling, right? That's like a double whammy. You can't help how you feel. You're allowed to feel a certain way. And if you feel sad about something or anxious or really pining for something, and then you feel in your gut that, like, it's silly or bad or shameful to feel that way, that's the worst possible feeling. So I just want to validate anyone who is currently experiencing this or has experienced it in the past that I get it. I've had it too. And you're allowed to feel how you feel. So I think if you go into this process, and I also want to, I'm going to share with you guys in a minute the results of the gender survey that I asked you guys on Instagram to take today. Granted, it's a relatively small sample set, but I think it was very reflective of the reality, which is that this is a thing for a lot of people. So I'm going to share those things in a minute. But I think if you're having a very strong preference, or I would say like disappointment to the preference not being what you wanted, and this could be with your firstborn, your second, your third, fourth, it doesn't matter, right? It's your feelings. It's how you feel. I would consider why you feel as strongly as you do. And that is not at all a judgment, because as I was thinking about this, I thought about it for myself. Like when I was experiencing these things, why did I feel the way I did? And oftentimes it's a reflection of like your own past and your own life. Like whether it's, I was one of three girls and we were all best friends and I just really wanted that for my experience. Like I really wanted to create that dynamic again. Or I already have a boy, I know how to handle boys, and I really want another boy because that's where I feel comfortable. And I'm like nervous about how I would handle a girl or how I would handle a boy. Or maybe it's your partner. Maybe your husband really wants a daughter, or your husband or your wife really wants a son. And so you almost feel that burden of like, I'm carrying this child, and this is for women who are carrying the child, you know, or like we created this child and I feel bad that I'm, you know, literally not like able to give my partner a son or a daughter right now. I understand that sounds really dramatic, but I think these are the types of things people feel. A lot of times that's due to siblings too, right? Like, oh, I was really hoping we'd have a girl first because I know that like the oldest girl and they can be like really strong leaders and be like my little helper. Or like I really wanted a boy first because I want other kids and I thought he could be like the protector in the high school and help them. Or, you know, I really wanted two kids the same close age and same gender, but whatever, I really wanted only two kids, but now that we have two boys or two girls, I feel like I have to go for a third to try for the other gender. Like, oftentimes it's coming from something very specific. So I think, like, digging into why you feel that way helps a lot, because it can kind of give you a way to reframe how you feel, right? Like, if, for instance, you're thinking, like, I wanted a girl because she could be my best friend, then, like, dig in and say, but, like, what would make it impossible for my son to be my best friend? And, like, what, who's to say that when I'm 60, my son will be the one who comes to visit me all the time, and right? Or, like, I thought my daughter would take care of me. I thought my son would take care of me in my old age. Who's to say your daughter can't take care of you, right? Like, I think sometimes if you're able to look at it through that lens, it will help a little bit. It really will. And the truth is, and I think you can only say this as a parent who's had more than one child, which some of you listening have, some of you haven't, is every kid is so different that the idea that, like, all boys are cut from the same cloth and all girls are cut from the same cloth and, like, you know, you want a girl so they'll be calm and they'll sit in color, and boys are all maniacs and girls are all mean to you when they're teenagers, and boys are all are gonna, like, desert you for their wives and never be your friend again. Like, if you're looking at life through that very black and white lens, like, it's gonna hurt more, right? Because that's not the reality. And I will tell you, I even found with Teddy, my oldest, I found it so fascinating that just temperament wise, when he was about two, you know, we would have play dates with friends, and he had a couple of girls he was friends with that we would have play dates with frequently, and they were, like, scaling the walls, like, bouncing off the walls, literally running circles around him. And he was just, like, sitting there looking around, like, very, and everybody, like, oh my God, he's so well behaved, he's so whatever. Like, they were acting, if you will, the girls, like a stereotypical boy, and he was acting like a stereotypical girl. And that's just one very small example of, like, you just don't know, you know? Or, like, I will say with Teddy too, like, be like, oh, I want to dress them in cute girl clothes, whatever. If you guys have seen pictures of how I dress my kids, like, let's just say I didn't spare any pennies or anything to make my little boys look absolutely adorable in their little bloomers and little bonnets and all that stuff when they were babies. And even now, Teddy dresses himself and he's a sharp looking fellow, you know? And same thing, I have friends whose daughters, like, by the time they were 1 and a half, they were like, I'm wearing this Dora the Explorer t-shirt and you will not put me in anything else. And they're like, oh my God, cringe. She's been wearing that same shirt for 3 months every single day. These are, like, very dramatic examples, but do you know what I mean? I think when you're in that headspace and you're sort of grieving, like, the reality you saw, I do actually think that if you remember that, like, the reality you've created in your head about who this child is going to be is not necessarily at all who they were going to be. And so sometimes separating that from the gender thing can help a little bit. And I know I'm, like, giving you ways to reframe it, but the truth is you can feel how you feel. Like, I do want that to be the biggest takeaway of this. Okay, so the results of the little survey I did, and again, small sample set, but I think it was still interesting. So of the people who replied to the poll, for those who had a second child, and I'm rounding a little bit, but it was like 40-45% wanted the opposite for their second child, right? So if they had a boy, they wanted a girl for the second. Also about 45% did not care either way. They were like, I want two kids. It doesn't really matter which gender the second one is. And about 10% wanted the same gender. And what I think is good to realize about this is, like, how different people are across the spectrum, right? So somebody has a girl and they're like, oh, are you going to try for a boy? Like, little do you know that a person who has a girl wants another girl. Like, we always just assume that everybody wants what we want. And that's not necessarily the case. So I think it's another example of something to, like, not project onto other people what you assume they want, because we are all very different. The only thing that everyone had in common is for the people, and again, small sample set, for everyone who has three kids, if they had two of the same gender first, they wanted the opposite for the next one, whether it was boy or girl. If they had two boys, they wanted a girl. If they had two girls, they wanted a boy. And I kind of get this, right? It's like, at that point, if you have that many kids, I guess you want a mix. But again, I bet if my sample set was bigger, I would find plenty of people who would want all three of the same gender. So of those who had three, most of them either wanted, if you had to pick, you know, you have, sorry. So if you had three and you had one of each, right? So you had a boy and a girl. What did people want? Interestingly, the only thing that nobody voted for was a boy, was an extra boy. So everybody either wanted
if they already had a boy and a girl, they wanted a girl for their third, or they didn't care. They didn't have a preference. They were like, I'm just happy with either, which I totally get. And other interesting anecdote here was about finding out the gender. That was another question I asked. So of the people polled, it was about 60% found out the gender of their second born, if they had more than one kid, their second or third child, and the rest did not. And of those people, in asking like what, like why did you find out the gender ahead of time, about 50%, which I did think was interesting, it had nothing to do with like them wanting one gender or the other, right? It was either just like, this is a part of genetic testing, and it was just like, I just wanted to know. Or it was like, you know, I wanted to decorate the nursery, or, you know, it was just fun to look forward and like think about what we were going to name them, things like that. But it didn't have to do with like, I want a certain gender or not. It was just, I wanted to find out. 40%, the reason they chose to find out the gender is because how much they wanted one. And so if it wasn't what they wanted time to like process it and not be like sad as they're in, you know, delivering the baby. Understandable. And this is a perfect example of like, everyone looks at things differently. So that was one reason why people wanted to find out the gender. But about 10% of the people said that they really wanted to wait for that same reason. So they're, you know, presented with the same information, their thought process was, I really want one, so I'm going to wait until delivery because I know when I see them, it's going to be love at first sight. And I feel like if I find out now and it's not the one I wanted, I'm just going to be really disappointed. And it's going to put like a damper on my overall pregnancy and all of that. So again, this is like personal stuff, right? And another interesting thing is for the families who had two children of the same gender, the question I asked was, because of that, because you have two of the same gender, are you going to go for a third, or did you, or do you want to, in order to like get the other one? And 50% of them said no. 40% of them said, gonna try for another, but it's not because I care about what gender it is. Only 10%. I thought this was interesting because I think this is the assumption so many people make. And it's another good example of like, don't project our assumptions on other people. Only 10% said they did try or they are trying. With the sole purpose of like trying to get the other gender, right? So those people were like, I wanted three kids anyway, right? So that wasn't like the reason, or the rest of them said, right? So it was only that 10% who said they were trying to get the gender that they wanted. You guys, I'm sorry, I'm recording this at the end of a long day of calls. I really should stop doing this because I feel like my episodes, when I do them at the end of the day, when I've been on the phone all day, I go off the rails. So let me just very quickly repeat that. 50%, they're not going for a third, even if they have two of the same gender. That's just not their plan. 40% were like, yes, I am going for a third, but that's just because we wanted a third. It has nothing to do with, you know, the gender that we have or don't have. And only 10% said they were like going for a third so that they can hopefully have one of the gender they wanted. Here are some anecdotes that people said. So these are like real parents, and I think it's good to hear in their words their experience. So the first one, these are all anonymous. I have two stepdaughters and a son, and then found out I was pregnant with a girl. I think in my mind I was disappointed because my husband already has two girls, so another girl didn't seem as special. I don't know if gender was the main reason, but I did not feel as instantly connected to her during this pregnancy, but I did when she was born. Great. Another person said, I was glad to find out. I didn't get the gender I wanted, and that way I could grieve and move on to naming and getting excited for this baby. Totally get it. And someone said, I was thrilled when I found out one of my twins was a girl. I did not want three boys, but if that had happened, I would have accepted my fate as a true boy mom. Totally get that. When I was expecting my daughter, I was devastated with a capital D that she was a girl. It definitely affected my pregnancy negatively, but once she arrived, it really faded to nothing. Occasionally I have twinges of, oh, it would have been nice if it was a boy first because of XYZ, but those feelings are few and far between. And I will say that the universal consensus, I just pulled a couple that I thought were different from each other and, you know, would be good to share. And the consensus for those who have three of the same gender, all of it had to do with the worst parts about it didn't have anything to do with their experience parenting those children. It was the comments that they get, right? So a lot of it was like, if they're girls, like, ooh, it's going to be your house. It's going to be so scary when they're teenagers. And if it was boys, like, ooh, there's so much testosterone. It must be like stinky in your house. And like just basically being as stereotypical as you can. And so like maybe that should be our biggest takeaway is like, please just don't say anything. When somebody says, I have, you know, Dylan, Bobby, and Joey, my three boys, you're like, awesome. they seem great. And if they're like, here's Sarah, Kara, and Mara, same thing. Awesome. That's great. That's like, literally don't say anything else. And you know what the other thing is? We all have to remind ourselves. I feel like when you talk to twin parents, I would challenge everyone who's listening to this, if you're not a twin mom, if you know someone who has twins, ask them the most common comments that they get from people, because I asked one of my best friends has twins, and my sister-in-law has twins too. I should ask her, because I bet she would have similar feedback. But I asked my best friend Becca about, like, what are the most common things people say to you. It was just making me cringe so much, because I was like, I have definitely said all of these things. Well, not the invasive ones, the ones about, like, was it IVF and things like that. I would never say that to somebody, but the, like, are they twins? Like, I've definitely probably said that to somebody, right? When you see two kids that look like similar ages. And then, like, are they identical? And this one really made me cringe, because I was like, I've definitely done this, is when she was like, when I tell people I have twins or they are twins or people can tell that they are, they immediately are like, tell you about someone in their life who is a twin. And I was like, oh my God, I've 1000% done that. Like, oh, my best friend just had twins. I've probably told people about Becca 50 times. They're like, cool, you're the fourth person today who felt the need to just share with a loose acquaintance or a stranger that they know somebody who has the same fetal makeup that I do. And I was like, oh my God. So just remember that whatever creative, interesting comment you think you're making, they've probably heard it 5 times already that day. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that is the case. Here is what I would like to close with. At the end of the day, I think a lot of the grief around gender comes from some of those things I was mentioning. It's like your own personal good or bad experiences, what your partner wants, like feeling unprepared or scared. This one would do this, you know, that sort of the, like pining for this hypothetical relationship and experience that you would have as a parent. And at the end of the day, like what that says to me is what we actually all want is a long-lasting positive relationship with our kids that goes beyond dressing them cute and taking, you know, their preschool graduation photo and whatever. So here is my very humble, unsolicited advice for how to create what you actually want by thinking you want a certain gender, which is accept your kids completely for who they are, right? You, listen, let's just give a really random example here. You have several boys, you really wanted a girl. What if one of your sons is a fabulous Broadway dancer who can do your nails better than anyone in the world, who you guys go shopping at Saks together and have tea and gossip about the rest of the people in your family, and he is your best fabulous friend? That is a possibility. What if your daughter, like, you know, like my husband's a surfer, and like, I will say Delaney of our three kids, she is, to me, seems much more like athletic. I mean, the other two are good athletes. If Alex hears this, he's gonna be mad because he thinks they're good athletes. They are, but she's so little, and she's definitely ahead of the curve compared to what they were doing with like physical activity when they were two. She's only two. And I've said to him a couple of times, she's gonna be your little Grom. I think she's gonna be the one who's surfing with you when she's 25. Like, I just have a feeling, right? So like, accept them for exactly who they are, whether they fit the mold you thought they would or they're completely different. Don't push your own agenda on them. Save that for the baby clothes, okay? If you want your daughter to wear all pink, that's great when she's a newborn. And when she's 12 and she wants to wear all brown, you're going to let her. Remember, these are things I'm saying I think personally will help us all create long-lasting positive relationships, right? Not pushing our, I don't care if you, like, I do gymnastics. I would love if Delaney was a gymnast, but I also don't care if she's not, because that was my dream. That's what I loved when I was a little girl. It doesn't have to be what she loves. She might love softball, and that's good for her, you know? And care about what they care about, kind of the same thing. I cannot tell you how many nights I've sat and been like, and then tell me about that Pokemon card. Because guess what? Teddy's really into Pokemon right now. And I'm sure you've heard that phrase, like, if you don't care about the little things now, they're not going to tell you the big things, because they've always been big to them, right? Like, if he's excited about, he traded some Pokemon card with his friend Graham at school, that's what he wants to talk about. So I'm going to talk to him about it. I'm not going to ignore him, right? And trying to lead by example as best you can, right? Like, be silly with them, have fun, engage with them, but also be firm on your boundaries. Like, be a leader to your family. Because think of it this way. I read something, I don't remember when, but I was like, wow, that is so poignant, is that you really want to cultivate family values and experience in your home where your kids do the right thing because they want to do the right thing, not because you're holding something over them. Not only because, like, that's not good, and I think we all fall into those traps of being like, you guys all better do XYZ, or, you know, no dessert, or, like, I'm only going to give you a blah, blah, blah. Of course, like, everyone, we're all human, but at the end of the day, the pattern of holding things over a kid's head, here's the really, really hard, sad truth. If that is how you parent, one day you'll have nothing to hold over their head, and then you will have no relationship. If your relationship with them, even as little kids and growing, is based on, I can take away your credit card, I can take away your car, I can take, if it is just holding things over you, someday they're going to go to college, they won't be financially dependent on you, they won't. And then if that's all you did, there's no relationship, because what can you hold over them now? Nothing. And that's all you had based things on. That's how you got them to do what they wanted. And that's not a relationship based on mutual, like, respect and understanding, right? Got really deep there for a minute, but I think it's a good thing to remember, because no matter what their gender is too, that's the other takeaway I got for sure from the feedback from everyone, is that whether they were excited or not excited at all about the gender of their child, at the end of the day, they love them more than anything in the world, and they would never go back and change them to be the other thing. And that might be something you come to terms with in pregnancy when they're born. It could be 9 months later. I think there's plenty of women who do not bond immediately with their babies, and that's another whole other bag of worms of things we should probably discuss. But it's going to be okay, and you're going to love that child more than anything in the world. All of them. Okay. Love you guys. As always, hope this was helpful. I'll see you next week.
Loving the snooze button? Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And please leave a review. I will read it and internalize it, so make sure it's very glowing. If you're interested in working with me or learning more about my courses, head to brittanysheehan.com or follow me on Instagram at brittanysheehansleep.